Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Board of License Commissioners. Today is Wednesday, July 31st, 2019. It's approximately 3:05 p.m. Before you are the Commissioners Bard, Commissioner Mahoney, and Commissioner myself, Murati Ferrer. And before we start, just a few announcements. You are being privately video and tape recorded. You are also being recorded by us. That door over there has to remain clear. You're either in the room or outside of the room. And if you're in the room, please make sure to not have your conversations in here. Take them outside because we're recording, and that sort of messes up the audio. If you are an attorney representing someone today, please fill out an appearance form so we know who to send the decision to. If you're a witness in a case, if you can please fill it out so that we spell your name correctly in the minutes, that would be great. Also, when you take your conversations outside, make sure the noise sort of carries. I think Elizabeth went to get them.
Oh, I already got that.
I think that's what she forgot, and that's what she went out to get. The noise carries, so when you're outside those conversations, just please keep them as low as possible or as away as possible from the door. Number 15 has been rescheduled, and matter number 14 will be called number 5 today, so that everyone knows.
What's the date for number 15?
I'm sorry?
The rescheduled date for number 15?
I don't have it. I think so. I'm concerned.
First matter, disciplinary, Benedetto Incorporated, doing business as Benedetto, 1 Bennett Street, common victualler, all alcohol license, number 115762, due to alleged violation of Cambridge 527 CMR, failure to comply with the crowd control manager requirements.
Benedetto, if you can please come up. Thank you. The appearance forms are already up for the attorneys that were looking for them earlier. Thank you. If you could please stay standing up for a moment. Sir, you have to either be inside or outside, because otherwise, thank you.
Anyone who's going to testify, if you could raise your right hand, please. You swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you could please take a seat. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your last names for the record?
Michael Pagliarini, P as in Peter, A G L I A R I N I.
Thank you.
Robert Taylor, T A Y L O R.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B U B E N I K.
Go ahead, Mr. Bubenik.
A routine task force inspection on April 5th, 2019 found that Benedetto had filled out their crowd manager paperwork, but not every day. A follow-up inspection on May 10th found that this issue was still not resolved. A second follow-up on June 14th found no violations. Benedetto was previously sent a warning letter by the commission in December of 2017 for not properly completing crowd manager paperwork.
Thank you. Sirs, your turn.
So obviously an opportunity for us to reevaluate internal procedures. We're happy to be working with a management team that is particularly diligent and has taken some time. I'd like to share a few materials that we have put into place and procedures protocols, if I may submit that.
Thanks.
Part of our standard training packet for managers, new managers, especially Robert Taylor is our general manager, which is why he's present with us, newly appointed to the job, it's been on about a month. And sort of use this occasion to reevaluate some internal practices to make sure there's diligence. We have four of our managers as well certified for crowd control, and I think the diligence of just getting our managers into a daily routine so that we can certify that this clerical work is being done in tandem with making sure the physical plant is in correct operating procedures for the dinner service ahead.
So out of the four managers, three of them have been certified since last year. and these violations occurred this year?
Yes.
Yeah. And then your procedures have been in substance when? The guidebook that you provided us?
They have been in place for...
essentially late May.
Late May, after, yeah.
After the
which
the
is
May
why
10.
We were not in violation as of mid-June.
I hope we were able to concisely express our, you know, internal review in that document and reinforce our commitment to, you know, operating responsibly in the city.
Thank you. You guys ready to vote?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with that said, I would find a violation, I think, based on the warning that they received and then the two subsequent inspections where there were violations, and then the June inspection with no violation and what they provided to us, I would suggest a one-day suspension held in abeyance for 6 months.
I concur with that.
So, excuse me, prior to April 5th, there was no warning. The April 5th was the triggering.
No, they received the warning letter in December of 2017.
Oh, okay, that's what I was missing. Then I concur.
Okay, so violation, one day held in abeyance for 6 months. You'll receive a letter and a statement of reasons. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, Nookie LLC, doing business as Commonwealth Restaurant, 11 Broad Canal Way, due to alleged violations of failing to comply with crowd control manager on April 5th and May 10th.
You can please stand up while she swears you in. Good, thank you.
And raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give, say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Steve Postal, S-T-E-V-E-P-O-S-T-A-L.
Phil Marshall, P-H-I-L-M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenick, B-U-B-E-N-I-K.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Bubenick.
A routine task force inspection on April 5th, 2019 found that Commonwealth's crowd manager paperwork was filled out, but not every day. A follow-up inspection on May 10th, 2019 found that the violation had not been corrected. A second follow-up on June 14th, 2019 found no violations. Commonwealth was previously sent a warning letter by the commission in May of 2018 for not properly completing crowd manager paperwork.
Thank you. Mr. Postal or Mr. Marshall?
Yeah, he's right that happened. I'm really sorry. I mean, I think, you know, it's in place now, and it was the second time he came. And, you know, I think one of the things for me, just as maybe you all have seen, as I've grown, you know, I used to spend every single hour in that restaurant, and I no longer do. And, you know, now it's getting filled out every day, and every night they're emailing me, letting me know it's done. So it is being done, and we have the proof for you if you would like to look at it. Or, it's getting done every day.
Just to clarify for the board, you're not open every day of the week.
Exactly.
So there's
right.
one
yeah.
day a
yeah.
week
yeah.
in there that... Yeah.
Sunday's wrong.
Yeah, and then the 4th, the 5th through the 8th, we were closed as well.
Yes.
July.
And we closed during... And we're really sorry.
Crowd managers do you have?
Three.
Are they all in good standing?
Yes.
So? would find a violation, and I think considering the warning that they received and then the two subsequent violations and then the no violation in the recent inspection, I think I would vote the same as I did before, showing that they have filled it out with the records that they provided to us today. So I would do a 1 day held in abeyance for 6 months.
Concur.
I concur.
Okay, you'll receive a statement of reasons. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matters, Sandeep Incorporated, doing business as Martin Brothers Liquor Store. To determine whether on June 27th an employee of Martin Brothers sold alcoholic beverages to an underage individual.
Good afternoon. My name is John Leone. I'm the attorney for Sandeep Inc. I'm here with just Paul Pablo, the owner.
Just 1 second while we swear in people here.
Please raise your right hand. Testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. You may take a seat. Mr. Leone, how do I spell your last name?
L-E-O-N-E.
Thank you. And with you today, you said, is?
Jaspal Pabla. J-A-S-P-A-L-P-A-B-L-A.
Thank you. For the record, your name?
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of Amstel Light on June 27, 2019 at 2:50 p.m. at Martin Brothers located at 1144 Cambridge Street. The underage individual entered the establishment with only a $20 marked bill on their person. I was able to watch as the individual got a six-pack of Amstel Light out of the cooler, go to the counter, pay for the six-pack, and leave the premise. Once outside, I asked them to give me the six-pack. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked any questions. The individual informed me that the only question that was asked was, do you want a bag? I returned the six-pack, informed the cashier that he had sold a six-pack to an underage individual, and requested my $20 marked bill back, which he did. I notified the owner and sent the license premise inspection form 980 to him.
Thank you. Counsel?
They don't deny the underlying facts, Madam Commissioner. They have disciplined the employee who made the sale to the underage individual. They gave him a three or four day suspension. They have since, and they always have had an alcohol policy, but since then we have written, established it in writing. We have copies for each of the commissioners and the executive director. Just to be clear for the employees to know exactly what is required and expected of them, they did have and have renewed, they have a scanner for driver's licenses. The employee did not use that. They've just renewed that contract with the new company. The licenses will go into the scanner and it will pop up on a laptop whether or not the license is valid, been tampered with, and it also will show whether or not the person is over 21 years of age. They also have acquired this year's version. They had an older version of the state license book, which shows valid driver's license in all 50 states and Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. So they have taken those measures since that time to enhance their procedures for not having underage sale at all. They have owned this establishment since August of 2002. I think that besides one other prior incident 12 years ago, they've had no other incidences of sale to underage or intoxicated patrons. They do take their responsibility they do value their license and take the responsibility of ensuring sales to proper individuals. And like I said, they did suspend the person for 4 days who did this.
So if I understood your presentation correctly, this mm-hmm. was the policy, but it was just written?
Well, we've reduced it to writing since then. There was always the policy, and now the policy will be to have the employees sign off so they understand and it's very clear to them. it was always the policy to check everybody. They're not sure why this gentleman did not. He was an older gentleman, I believe he's 61 years old. He's a former police officer from the city of Singapore, so they assumed that he would have been up on making sure that everybody was not underage, they were of age. So we just don't know what happened this time.
Mr. Pablo, how long had this gentleman been working for you, the cashier?
He has been working with us good for 10 years.
And aside from disciplining him, did you discuss the policy with him?
Yes, we did.
They are also interested if in additional training, if there are any resources that we could get from the executive director after the hearing, maybe tomorrow, that give us additional trainings for tips type training for alcohol, for liquor stores, if there is such a thing. They would gladly hire such an individual and undertake that as well.
Well, there's the 21 proof, and then there's also tip certification.
For liquor stores as well?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Was the employee on duty the only employee that day?
No, there was other employees.
Do you guys have any questions?
Yeah, I do. One, at one point, the attorney said that the employee was suspended for 3 or 4 days. Then he said it was suspended for 4 days. How long was the employee suspended?
I believe it was 4 days.
4 days. Do you have any documentation of that?
I didn't bring that with me. We can get you his payroll record showing he wasn't in those days. So,
Chief Investigator Boyer, you said that the employee did not even ask for ID, right? Am I clear with that?
Correct.
Okay. Those are my only questions. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to wait until they supply the records to us before we vote, or do you want to vote?
I think we can vote.
Okay. I think this is a clear violation. And I think even though the attorney's right that they haven't had any discipline for a number of years, the cornerstone of Chapter 138 is to make sure that minors don't get sold. That's one of the biggest public safety issues built into the law. This is a package store. This is literally two things that they always have to be looking for, whether someone is intoxicated or under the influence and whether someone's underage. I mean, I think this is the crux of their business. I think it's very important. I mean, so is a restaurant, but I mean, they're looking at 700 different things. This is, I don't know. So I think a suspension's warranted. Those are my thoughts on this.
Me too. I think, you know, one of the factors that you consider is the employee didn't get tricked with a fake ID or anything. It was, he didn't even ask for ID. So you got to, I'll leave it at that.
My sentiments exactly. Didn't even ask for the identification.
So what are we thinking in terms of suspension?
2 days.
2 days sounds about right.
Okay, so 2 days. Violation, 2 days suspension. You'll receive a statement of reason.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chief.
Classic Restaurant Concepts LLC doing business as En Boca for non-use of said license.
Good afternoon.
My name is Richard Riley. I actually represent just an interested party, which is Harvard University. I sent a letter to the commission back in March, which I don't know whether it's in the record or not, and I don't know if it's appropriate for me to participate or simply to wait and provide information from Harvard University's perspective with respect to the lease situation and the litigation that it has ongoing with Classic Restaurants. that tangentially relates to this matter.
So, Mr. Riley, why don't you take a seat? We'll figure. We'll take one step at a time. We do have the letter on file, which
you.
I believe was provided to Invoca, correct?
That's correct.
Executive Director.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Please state your name.
My name is Jim McGrail, representing Classic Restaurants.
Sorry, your name again.
Jim McGrail, M-C-G-R-A-I-L.
Thank you.
Bill Goodwin, Classic Restaurants.
Thank you. All right. So last time you were here for the cancellation hearing for non-user, the issue had been raised in terms of whether if the board took any action, whether this would affect the ongoing litigation that Invoca has or a Classic Restaurant has with Harvard. Since that time, we received a letter that Mr. Riley noted at the beginning of the hearing. So I guess at this point, Mr. McGrail, I think the hesitation in terms of what the board had expressed is now questioned whether it's appropriate, and it looks like there's someone that's trying to get into the space, and this license is holding that up, so it's essentially becoming a pocket license.
Madam Chair, we haven't seen that letter, at least I haven't, and my client has just told me that he hasn't seen the letter either, so we're not aware of the letter.
So you know what, why don't...
We have copies.
The
letter was sent to Attorney Philip Brown, who represents Classic Restaurants Corporation in the pending litigation, and so that's who I sent the letter to.
So why don't we take a short recess on your case, and then we'll hear the next one. We'll get this a second call. Thank you. And then, gentlemen, why don't you two step outside the attorneys and maybe talk? Thank you. We're going to call number 14.
Application Tamale Inc. doing business as Charlie's Kitchen, the Red House at 10 Elliott Street for an alteration of premise.
This is to add a kitchen on the third floor. Is that the third floor?
Yep, third floor. 10 Elliott.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Yep. Could you please stay and tell your last name for the
Paul
record?
Paul Overgag, O-V-E-R-G-A-A-G, owner of Charlie's Kitchen and the Red House Restaurant in Cambridge.
Thank you. Is the addition of the kitchen tied to any other changes in the business operation?
No.
So the business is continuing to operate the same way?
So that's it. The only change is adding the kitchen itself.
Yep.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant. Granted. Thank you.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you as well.
Application Lotus Harvard Enterprise LLC at 1699 Mass Ave has applied for a garage license for 21 parking spaces and 210 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of autos only.
Good afternoon. Give me one second. Okay, good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your last names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. My name is James Rafferty, R-A-F-F-E-R-T-Y. I'm an attorney with offices at 907 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge. I'm appearing this afternoon on behalf of the applicant. Seated to my right is Toby Sato, S-E-T-O. He's the principal of the LLC that owns the property.
Toby with 1B?
Yes, 1B.
Thank you. All right, and so we are doing 21 parking spaces for fee and no additional flammables at the location, correct?
That's correct. This is a building that's under construction, a residential building on what was a parking lot on Massachusetts Avenue across from the Chang Show restaurant. Mr. Sato is I'm affiliated with the Chang Show restaurant, but you're building how many residential units?
16 units, okay. And the one in the back there is single.
So this is accessory parking for the residential building, and we have applied for and received the flammable materials permit from the fire department, and we are, as I said, the construction is perhaps 70% under?
80, 90%.
Okay, 90%.
Got an expected opening date?
Well, like around September, beginning of September.
And the only thing that we're missing is the interdepartmental form?
The registration does...
The parking registration form.
On residential properties, is that required?
On okay. All parking.
Okay, well, we can fill it out. It previously had a... this is a reduction in the amount of... It was a surface parking lot for commercial parkers, both patrons of the restaurant and other businesses on Mass Avenue. So it's a reduction in the amount of parking, so we can easily make that. We need to modify the existing registration then.
Okay. Well, I think... do you guys have any questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, so I would suggest, since they're not looking until September opening date, we'll just defer this till our August meeting, and then while we provide the attorney time to get the interdepartmental form, make sure that there's no issues raised with traffic or anything. Okay, so will
this be on the agenda or just something?
It will be on the administrative agenda unless there's an issue, and then Ms. Lynch will get in touch with you too.
Otherwise, the applicant doesn't need to.
Otherwise, he does not need to appear. All right, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Application 400 Discovery Park LLC at 48 Acorn Park Drive has applied for a garage and flammables license for 300. I'm sorry, can you keep it down on the back because we can't hear up here? Thank you. 380 parking spaces, 3,800 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of autos only, and 50 gallons of class one.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your last names for the record?
The door. Anne Sobolewski, Sobolewski, from 400 to 700.
That was way too fast for me.
Sobolewski.
Thank you.
Becky and Charles Leray, LE RAY. Outside counsel to the applicant. Offices at 745 Atlantic Avenue, Boston.
Excellent, thank you. And this is for 380 parking spaces per fee, and then we have an additional 50 gallons of flammables. What is the what are the flammables for?
It's for maintenance equipment for the campus, so snow clearing, landscaping equipment, that sort of thing.
Okay.
What building? What is the occupancy of the building where the garage is located?
This is a standalone parking garage.
Standalone garage. Okay.
This is Cambridge Discovery Park, where there were traditionally 1,052 surface spaces, and over the course of redevelopment, we've moved them all into two parking garages. This is the second garage now coming online.
Okay.
I don't have
any questions.
Yes, we'll take those. Thank you. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Okay.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you. Application 3MJ Associates LLC at 10 Essex Street has applied for a garage license for 23 parking spaces and 230 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of autos only.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Hey, good afternoon again. James Rafferty, RAFFERTY, on behalf of the applicant, 3MJ, seated to my right, Morris Nager, NAGAAR.
GGAR. NAGGAR.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, your first name?
Morris. MORRIS.
Can you keep it down?
Thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you. This is also a residential parking garage serving as accessory parking for a soon-to-be-opened residential building at 10 Essex Street. We have received the flammable storages permit, and I note in this case we do have an interdepartmental parking facility
could
registration.
I have it? Because I didn't see it.
We have.
I looked right before. I don't have it.
I put it in there yesterday.
Oh, but it's not on the record, uploaded record. I looked at the uploaded record.
Yeah, it's okay. In the final.
We did that around.
These are for fee as well?
Well, yes. They're associated with the rent of the apartments. Yeah. That was done at the time of the special permit, so it's been in place for years. Building's due to open shortly. Morris would be passing out lease applications now if anyone would like to be close to work.
How many residential units in the building?
46.
Is it inspect completed?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Application came from Craft LLC, doing business as World of Beer, 100 Cambridge Side Place, for a change of manager to David Groves.
Good afternoon. Hello. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
David Groves, G-R-O-V-E-S.
Thank you. And Mr. Groves, I note that you submitted your tip certification.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever been the manager of Background Liquor License before?
No.
And how long have you been with World of Beer?
3 months now. 4.
And do you have any other experience in the food and beverage industry?
Close to 20 years.
In Massachusetts or?
Yes, most of it's on the Cape.
And you're transferring here?
Yeah. And living on the Cape is very different than vacationing on the Cape.
I would assume so. And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with the rules, laws, and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regards to the sale and service of alcohol?
I would assume so.
Thank you. Any other questions? I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application, Taya and Son, LLC, doing business as Yummy Thai, 2261 Mass Ave, for a change of hours from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. to 1 a.m.
So basically extending closing hours from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record, please? I need you to speak up.
Yeah. Kittima, K-I-T-T-I-M-A, K-A-M-R-A-I-T-H-O-N-D.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. One more time. Your first name, how do we spell it?
K-I-T-T-I-M-A.
Okay, yeah. And your last name?
Kamlaithong, K-A-M-R-A-I-T-H-O-N-D.
Thank you.
My name is Chandri Palapanathipun, C-H-A-N-R-I-T. Last name is T-R-I-R-A-T-T-A-N-A-T-I-K-U-N.
Thank you. All right. And just so that I don't mess this up, if you write them down there on this piece of paper and provide that to us, that would be great too. But you can do that later. Let's start with your hearing. So you have been open since December of 2018, correct?
Yes.
And can you tell us why you are requesting this change of hours?
So we have to see the opportunity. Some restaurants are closed out at 10 p.m., but not a lot of restaurants that open late. So we see the opportunity that we want to have improve ourselves for us.
And you have had no disciplinary issues, I note for the record.
Yes.
And you both work at the restaurant? You're physically there?
Yes, she is the owner and the manager.
Okay. Do you have a butter notification?
No, that's not it.
The notification to the people around you, the butter notification, did you upload that already? No.
I don't think so.
Did you notice the people around you that you were asking for later hours?
No.
Okay. So we'll have to reschedule this matter because you... In the hearing notice, if you look at the second paragraph.
Okay.
So we asked you to inform the people around you that you were requesting the change of hours. Did you do that?
Oh, she do already. She said she uploaded already.
Okay. So you know what? I'll defer just so that we can review to make sure that was done properly. But before that, anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, so we're going to defer just to make a review of the record to make sure that the abutters were notified as we requested. And then if we see any issues, we'll contact you. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. And if you want to take the pen, can you give him Elizabeth, my pen or your pen? Yeah, go ahead. If you can write your name so that we get him properly, that would be great. Thank you. And while we call the next one, Officer Zito. Can you please have the attorneys either move to the conference room because it's too loud. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Application, the Aji Group, LLC, doing business as Aji Gourmet at 30 Dunster Street, has applied to add wine and malt beverages to their license.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Charlie Tevden, 15 Broad Street, Boston, representing Aji Group.
How do we spell your last name?
T as in Thomas, Evnan.
Thank you.
And with me is Steve Welch, who is an owner and manager of the Aji Gourmet restaurant.
Thank you.
I have an affidavit of notice to file.
And this is an existing common victualler license.
Yes.
And right now you have a total occupancy of 30 inside with 15 seats, so you're changing the capacity, essentially increasing it, but the footprint is staying the same?
Yes.
And then right now your CV hours are Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be requesting to change that and increase that to 11?
Yes.
And also, you're still going to be closed on Sundays?
No.
Oh, no, you're going to now open on Sundays as well. So Sundays would be 10 a.m. to 11 p.m.?
Yes.
Modification to the footprint?
No. And then the
the seating needs the square footage.
Zoning approved it.
Okay.
And the outdoor patio seating area, is this visible from the inside?
Yes.
And now that I got my form stuff out of the way, you can start, Counselor.
Madam Chair, Steve Welch, manager, longtime manager, has been the owner and operator for the last 12 years and runs a well-regarded and beloved restaurant in Harvard Square. This is a logical expansion of his use. He's responsible. There have never been any incidents or of any negative kind. And he respectfully requests the ability to offer beer and wine during the business hour, during those hours specified on the application.
So other than a logical expansion and the fact that he's a good operator, what's the public need for the addition of the beer and wine?
He has been asked repeatedly by numerous customers if and when he would offer beer and wine to complement the menu.
And just for the record, what kind of menu are you providing?
We have right now a variety of signature gourmet pizzas, sandwiches, and salads, and to accommodate our evening menu, we'll be doing some adding some more signature dishes in terms of entrees to our menu.
Thank you. Mr. Welch, have you ever been the manager of Record on Liquor License before?
No.
And are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes, I am.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes, I do.
And are you currently TIPS certified or 21 proof certified?
Yes.
If you can upload that to your record.
We did. I did.
Okay. Okay, great.
This is, you're located in the Smith Center, is that correct?
We're on the outside.
The outside.
We used to be inside, and when the building went under construction, they relocated us to the outside, so we're on the corner of Dunster and Mount Auburn.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Finale. At the same space.
That's how they're expanding the footprint. Any questions?
No.
And the entertainment that you're seeking is recorded music above conversation level or at conversation level?
Not above, at conversation level.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? If you can please, if you come closer to the table so that we can record your statement properly, that would be great. And if you can just please state your name.
Sure, Tom Lucy. I'm with representing Harvard University. The university is the landlord for Steve, and we wanted to come and show our full support of the application.
Thank you.
Laura Edelstein.
And are you a resident?
No, I'm one of the owners.
Oh. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon. Denise Stilson, J-I-L-L-F-O-N, Executive Director of Harvard Square Business Association. And we're excited about this. And in fact, I've been encouraging Steve to do this for quite a while, and he resisted, particularly during the time when the Smith Campus Center was under construction. But now that the construction is over, you know, we really felt that that corner of Dunster and Mount Auburn was dark. And part of it was because that, you know, Steve would leave at 7 o'clock at night and there wasn't anything going on over there. So now that he has taken this step, we think that the corner will be you know, much more active, and you know, in particular with now, you know, Wachusett being across the street and Diggin at the other corner, you know, it's going to just enliven that whole area, which we think is important to the square. And we also, Steve's been a longtime member of the Harvard Square Business Association for about 12 years, actively participates in our events, most recently the concierge event, and I'm just an all-around, you know, good guy, and happy to be here to support it, and hope that you will consider it affirmatively. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support? Anyone in opposition? Okay. With that said, I would vote to grant. And Ms. Lynch, just an amendment to the record that the music will be at Orville Conversation Room.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Application to transfer the wine and malt package store license held by Phone Food Incorporated, doing business as Louis Soubrette, 2628 Surrey Street, to Hey Ram Corporation, doing business as Louis Soubrette at the same location. Rupal Ben Patel is proposed manager of record.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state, you can sit down, thank you. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Attorney John Moradian, M-O-O-R-A-D-I-A-N, the Mox Law Offices.
M-O-O-R?
R-A-D-I-A-N.
Thank you.
Ravi Patel, R-A-V-I-P-A-T-L.
Thank you.
Rupal Patel, R-U-P-A-L-P-A-T-L.
Thank you. And Councillor, I noticed that you guys submitted an affidavit in terms of the number of package stores, but I only saw two discos, so I'm a little confused, and I just wanted to know why the submission.
Which affidavit are you referencing exactly?
So there was, hold on, maybe I'm talking about the wrong one.
This is Rupert Lynn's second store.
No. There was an affidavit regarding the ownership, the number of package stores owned by the individuals assigned for this. So I was.
Oh, I submit that for the ABCC Atlanta transaction.
Yep.
Regarding Robbie's ownership of a liquor store.
Yeah.
And I disclosed that Rupal Ben has ownership of a liquor store in Boston.
So this is performance, not...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. I kept looking at the numbers, and I was like, I don't understand why we're...
Yeah, it's pro forma I include just for...
Okay, go ahead. You can start your presentation.
Okay.
Thank you.
I represent Rupal Ben and Ravi Patel here. They formed Hey Ram Corporation, and they're purchasing the convenience store known as Louis Soubrette at 26 Surrey Street, owned by Fawn Food Incorporated. We're seeking approval to transfer the license to Hay Ram Corporation, approval of Rupal Ben Patel as manager of record, and a pledge of the license and inventory to Rockland Trust Company as they are financing the majority of the transaction. It's a change in ownership. It's a convenience store, and the hours for the store will be requested 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Sunday, with the alcohol service hours being allowed by statute, which I believe is 8 a.m. Monday through Friday to 11, and Sundays sales start at 10. Rupal Ben is the manager of record. She is TIPS certified. As I mentioned, she does own a store, co-owner of a store in Boston, Rotary Liquors, so she's experienced in the store. And Ravi, the other co-owner, will also be working there, and he is also experienced as a clerk in a retail store. With that, I'll ask any questions you may have.
So what other items are you selling?
It's a convenience store, so you're selling...
Yes. Just some retail... like milk, right?
Okay.
Groceries.
So basically the same operation?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And how exactly are you going to make sure that the alcohol is not sold between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m.?
What was that? Sorry.
The alcohol. How are you making sure? What kind of system are you implementing so that between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. there is no sale of alcohol?
6 a.m. to 8 a.m.
So you can't sell alcohol between 6
yeah,
and 8
a.m.? Yeah, I know. It has to be Saturday to like,
You can put a sign up.
I'll make sure I will
put a sign.
Make sure block the doors.
So do you have in the aisles, I'm sorry, I don't know that I printed it, in the aisles that you're selling alcohol, are you also having convenience store items there? Counselor, do you have a floor map?
Yes.
If you can provide that to me, that'd be great.
So,
this is alcohol, yes.
Line here, do you have groceries on this side?
Yep. This is going to be beer.
This is the cooler, right?
Yep.
So how are you going to kind of quarter that off for the couple hours you can't sell alcohol?
Make sure no one buys.
What's HBC on this floor plan? You have wine and then you have HBC. Chief Ward, can you do me a favor? Can you go upstairs and print me another copy of the floor plan on application 50247?
The 50247.
Thank you.
What's the HBC stand for?
We don't know the current operations.
The current operation, I mean, we have it just with the statutory hours, so I'm not sure if they're open before, but at least the way the license is issued, statutory hours, and the previous one, this was granted, no condition was placed.
Yes, can we come in? I don't know what that
is. Way
I'm not sure what the HBC, this is from the current owner.
Okay. So basically, I guess my question is, is your cooler going to have alcohol and non-alcohol items in it?
Yes.
Okay. And your aisles, are they going to have alcohol and non-alcohol items in it?
Yes.
Patel, you have been the manager of record on liquor license before, correct or no?
I'm owner in Boston.
Okay. Are you the manager of record on your store in Boston?
Yes.
Okay. And have you had any disciplinary issues with the local board or the ABCC?
No.
And you did submit your TIP certification?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with the rules, laws, and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to sale and service of alcohol?
Yeah. Sorry.
And Counselor, you said you're pledging the inventory and the license to Rockland Trust?
Rockland Trust Company.
There's no pledge with the landlord?
Not the landlord, no.
It looks like the products are on their own shelf versus the alcohol that's on us. It might be in the same line, but they're in different shelves, correct?
Yeah.
I think if we approve this, I think what I would suggest is the same conditions we put on the Target license in terms of how to secure the alcohol during non-permissible hours, in terms of you would need to install gates, and in the cooler you need to install locks to make sure that they cannot be open during non-hours that they can be sold.
How does the gates work exactly? What do you...
So I mean, I think I think you have to look at your whatever it is that you have in terms of, you know, whether you put gates in the front and in the back of the shelf so that people can come in. I mean, there's different ways to do it. I mean, the Star Market at Mount Auburn has one way to do it.
Target down here did it.
Okay. And locks on the coolers for.
Do you guys have questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. So, again, I think for me, I would vote to grant with the condition that the alcohol has to be secured either off the shelves, or if they're on the shelves, that the shelves have to be locked down and the coolers have to be locked down during non-statutory hours.
Should we require a submittal of an affidavit that that's been complied with?
Well, we can certainly not issue the license until we inspect it. We can do that.
Okay. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. So we'll vote to grant with the condition, and I would just look at the language that we have in the Target license, because I think we wrote it pretty well on that one.
I don't believe the current owner has the locks and the column gates, I guess, in them now.
This board did not issue the current owner's license.
No, I understand. So I'm just trying to think logically how, when we go to close and actually buy the store, because they're not operating yet, obviously, how will we coordinate construction of the gates and whatnot, and
Counselor, I don't know that I can advise you on how to negotiate that with the seller. Okay, so I would vote to grant with the condition that the alcohol has to be secured and locked during non-hours, or in the alternative, if your client doesn't want to do that, that they can only operate during statutory hours. But if they are intending to operate with the hours that you proposed, then they have to comply with the condition, and the license will not issue until an inspection has been done.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application, transfer and change of license type of the license held by A.W. Chen Incorporated, 907 Main Street, to Sean Casey, LLC, doing business as 907 Main Street as an inholder, all alcohol license at the same location. Patrick Barrett is proposed manager of record.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
You may sit down, thank you. If you can please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Patrick Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Thank you.
Timothy Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Thank you.
Mark Shulman, S-H-U-L-M-A-N.
Thank you. And Mark, it's with a C at the end, right?
Yeah, I'm going to see.
Thank you.
A couple things I'd like to submit before we get started. Notice cards. I also know that letters have come in, but this is a sort of compilation of letters of recommendation or approval and tip certification.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Patrick Barrett. I am the owner of 907 Main Street under the LLC, Sean Casey LLC. For the past almost two years, we've been under construction to convert the premises at 907 Main to a hotel of 67 keys and really two food and beverage locations that operate under the same ownership and operate in tandem. We have branded them as different locations just to sort of identify you're on the roof, you're on the ground floor. And we have complimentary menus of both, but they are serviced by full kitchens. For the past 12 or some odd years, I've been in Central Square myself, working with the Central Square Business Association, as well as helping to convert the area into a bid, but as a member of the Mayor's Red Ribbon Commission, as well as the C2 Commission, it came up multiple times that as a public process, one of the things that Central Square was missing was an active rooftop space. Which sort of put it into my mind and began this long, long process. Mark Schulman and Patty Chen, as tenants of mine since 2008 when the building was purchased, have been very cooperative in terms of the transition. Initially, the plan was to keep the ground floor retail as it was, but once we began construction, the building being 160 years old, we ran into structural issues that were just there was no way to anticipate them. So construction was protracted, which actually required to bring on a brand new contractor that could handle the scope of work that needed to be done. We are now in a position where we do have a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, in terms of construction, will be done by year's end. But Mark and Patty no longer wish to come back to the space, and we discussed the transfer of the license, which is why we're here as a natural progression from where the space was. And originally, Main Street was Tuscany's Ice Cream on the ground floor. They will be returning in a smaller space, but again, due to larger construction issues, that has been an issue. But they are working on their space now. We're sort of past those structural hurdles. Their production area is now part of the private dining room for the first floor restaurant. I have provided floor plans, but I also provided a floor plan for the AV system as well, so you can understand in terms of music and how that worked out. I can hand that out if you guys want to visual. The area located here, I can give you this one, I brought multiples. This is where the production area used to be, and it's also now where our bathrooms and private dining room are. Cinderella's restaurant, which used to also operate with a full alcohol license, is in the space now, which is very similar to how we've designed it, though it's a smaller bar. It's more about seating and dining. And the lobby area now, which is where Mark and Patty used to be, that's now part of the hotel and sort of a waiting room for the restaurant. However, the main entrance to the dining and to the courtyard is from an alley that we've created on Columbia Street. The reason for this was our location being at the corner of Main and Columbia. That corner is very tight, and we did not want people massing at that corner, so it seemed like a natural, between safety and loading, actually, that it's a much better place to put people. We have, I can show you our lighting plan in terms of what visibility will be, but it's very lit up. We have an artist commissioned to put a mural in this alleyway, and it's designed to be sort of a focal point on a relatively dead street, which Columbia has been for a long time. The space that you're seeing in gray here, this is a future tenant space. This is where Mark and Patty were originally going to go, but is now going to be occupied by a French bakery.
That's this one in back here?
Yes, sir. The one in front, that's where Toscanini's is. That was their original footprint, and that will remain so. The only addition for Toscanini's, like all these spaces, everything is being brought up to date,
between sprinklers and accessibility. Tuscanini's now has a ramp, so it's a very involved project. Essentially, the only thing that's remaining of the building itself is the outer shell. Everything else is brand new. But the courtyard, which used to be our trash area, and quite frankly, a problem for me as the manager of the building in terms of undesirable behavior, is now screened in by a 12-foot tall fence, and only point of entrance is from the Columbia, which is controlled and also has cameras and also has staff. It was part of our planning board process and community process in determining what was to be done with this area. Everyone sort of seemed to think that open area space that was taken off of the street was a good thing for this particular spot. I did have a Centec, who is a sound engineer. They did sound engineering for the building as well. The idea was to get the STC rating, which is the sound rating between rooms, super high, but I also had them do the ambient sound of the building. I can also provide a report to the board as well from the Centec, which deals with ambient sound for the building, which is currently at 60 decibels, just standing sound in the day, which is extremely high and well above our current sound ordinance. They tested the building on the outside, the interior, and because of my presence in Central Square, I know a lot of people who generally raise these kinds of concerns, so I wanted to sort of be able to speak to them before those concerns were raised. The courtyard, everything we've rated for conversation in terms of sound, not above as far as music goes. We did include 3 AV locations, which we have. We requested a license for screens, but they're really for anything my team can really concoct. So we have some work to do there. But the main focus is the transfer of the license for the hotel for these locations. And going up to the rooftop, which is really the only, I guess you could say, new part of the building. This fifth floor did not exist. It has been now in full construction and it's almost fully framed out. We're currently putting the siding on it. But we have our furniture plan, which is pretty set in stone in deck, and outer terrace, which is this corner piece and a slight wrap around in front of the banquet locations. It doesn't really show up on this drawing. The idea simply being to have a year-round space that has some seasonal accessibility on the exterior of the courtyard. We extended the deck to go in front of the banquet locations to add a second egress on the other side of what we call stair 2, which is this stair location.
So is the rooftop one of your, is not one of your drawings, right?
It is.
Oh, this one here, furniture plan level 5?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What you see in the back portion of that is a penthouse unit mm-hmm. for the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It is residential in nature, but when you see the 2 elevator openings, that opens up to the grade box below that is the kitchen space. Mm-hmm. The rest of that is all bar, bathroom, and mechanic. All mechanicals are typically grade. I would note that the stairwells are all steel construction, fabricated concrete. And you know, it's been quite a process to get all this thing in.
So is the rooftop restaurant that you propose, is it fully enclosed or is it just heavy covering, a roof covering?
About 2,000 square feet of it's fully enclosed.
It is, okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I can show you, unfortunately, because of the pavers that we've chosen, it looks like it just all goes through here.
Yeah.
There's a delineation where you see a door swing at this location here.
Yeah.
This space at the corner is open
yeah.
to the public. There is a small ramp across in front of these, what we call banquettes,
yep.
and a door opening on this side, which doesn't show up in this plan. I apologize for that. But that's the only space that's exterior. The rest is all interior.
Okay.
All
right.
It's exterior and accessible, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The biggest challenge of this building in terms of accessibility is accessibility. We have a water table at 7 feet. Digging below, raising, lowering floors is problematic, but also, as I'm sure you're aware, ADA ramps are also problematic. We've been able to do a very good job in terms of getting Tuscanini's up to speed, which was probably a larger challenge, but the lobby of the hotel had to be lowered about 3.5 feet to get to street level. which has all been done. I think actually last time I was before this board on behalf of Mr. Shulman, we were under construction doing exactly that piece.
Right.
And while I can make no excuses in terms of timeline of construction, dealing with a 160-year-old building has its own set of challenges. So I think at this point I can honestly say that we are on the other side of all of that. I did also bring some printed materials in terms of future hotel management, and as well as restaurant menus and examples of what we plan to do on each floor.
Do you have a timeline for opening?
Yes, sir. We are planning to have this building operational by the end of the year.
By the end of this calendar year?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, when we get on our landing page, we have a booking engine that books out several months past the actual occupancy anticipated. My construction schedule says December 20th, but my construction schedule is subject to change, but also in terms of being able to book and to hire staff, which we have to hire 72 people to work in this facility. We have, which are not all the time employees, that is a rotation. We begin booking in March. So right now, in September, you'll be able to book a room in March at the hotel. And then as we get closer to our completion date, we draw it back and to get to the actual date,
mm-hmm.
which we anticipate being in December.
Okay.
And believe me, I hate telling people by year's end. It's not money, mm-hmm. but it's what we got right now.
Mr. Barrett, you submitted just now your SIP certification. Will this be the first license you're the manager of record on?
Yes, ma'am.
And are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regards to the sale and service of alcohol and the running of an inholder license?
Yes, I am.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes, I do.
And I do note for the record that we received letters in support from Andrew Sater, Toomey, Metzger, Mallon, Devereaux, Central Square Business Association, and I do note that you gave us another packet. I'm not sure if any of those are different, but
Michael said like a last minute one.
Yep, the Central Square Business Association. Yeah.
We're the Central Square bid now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Any questions? It still says Central Square Business Association. Anyone in support of this petition? If you can please come up. State your name, please.
Good afternoon. Nabil Sayers, 7 Brookline Street, apartment number 6, Cambridge. I know Mr. Barrett for over 20 years, and he's been an amazing person, very active in the Central Square Business Association and community. He would do anything for the area and would be very essential for his project to happen for my business and for the neighborhood.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? And you said you have more papers for us?
I brought menus and things like that.
With that said, I would vote to grant, with the only change being that the alcohol hours are 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Sunday. CBN entertainment hours as requested, 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, do you repeat the Sunday hours?
What's the law? By law? 10 to 2.
Okay. Thank you.
Application to transfer the common victualler wine and malt license held by Shanghai Fresh. Doing business as Shanghai Fresh is 735 Mass Ave to 18 Fresh Inc. Doing business as Shanghai Fresh at the same location. Hours 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And Friday and, I think something's missing here. Seating for 45, occupancy of 48, 20 seats outside. Mimi Wang, proposed manager of record.
So the hours requested for food were 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. In terms of alcohol, the Sunday hours, 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. That was the request. Good afternoon. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Mimi Wen. Last name is W-A-N-G.
Thank you. Ms. Wang, I'm going to give both of these back to you. On this one, I note that you put your home address. It had to be the premise address. And on this one, just make 735, not 734. Thank you. Shanghai Fresh, so are you keeping the same type of operation?
Yes, I'm keeping everything except a little bit changing hours.
You have been the manager of record and liquor license before? Or no?
No.
You just submitted us your tip certification, correct?
Yes.
And are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
Running this with Z Yan?
Yes.
Nope. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
They're actually on the phone with with Harvard so I can let them know that it's time to wrap this up in 5 minutes or.
We'll take.
They're coming.
Okay. You know what? That's then we'll keep moving along.
Okay. You have more.
Administrative matters?
Yeah.
Justin Wan, on behalf of Coriental Foods, doing business as Beben Box for a new Hawker Peddler license.
Granted.
Reconsideration of the resubmission and affirmation of the, for the improv.
Okay. So this actually, on the agenda, it says reconsideration of application 51776. The application that we heard was actually application 31133. They just resubmitted it as 51176, but provided no additional information. So 51176 has been denied as superfluous or duplicate, and so we're still with 31133. Which we heard, and we had actually approved all these changes. We sent to the ABCC, and the ABCC sent it back to the applicant a couple of times because there was a difference between the officers and directors disclosed in the ABCC application and the officers and directors as filed with the Secretary of State's office. So the ABCC has returned this to us with no action. We reached out to the applicant to get that corrected, and until now the applicant has not corrected it. So this is what I propose to do. I think we provide the applicant until, I don't know what day is today.
31st.
The 31st. So we provide the applicant until 2 weeks from today to submit the paperwork. And if they don't, we schedule it on the August 21st agenda to revoke our grant and to indefinitely suspend the license until they submit all the paperwork. Okay. So 2 weeks from today, they have until 2 weeks from today. To submit the paperwork. Otherwise, we'll hear them, we'll schedule them for on August 21st, I think is our meeting, for a revocation of the grant and a indefinite suspension of the license. Okay, so let me just put this here. Does that give us 2 weeks between our hearing and the 21st? Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just 3 weeks.
Okay, are we ready now? Still? Yes? Okay, so let's go back to Nboka. All right.
So thank you for your patience. We've had extensive discussions outside and have come to an agreement that classic restaurant concepts will surrender the license that had been issued to it. I don't have the number right in front of me, but
11545.
And the new tenant in the space will be submitting an application for a new license, which will ideally be done, we're told, if it's done by Friday, that can actually be put on the docket for the 21st of August, hopefully.
I think that works in terms of what has to be advertised and the time it takes in Cambridge.
Okay. But that's the nature of the agreement and this consideration being paid by Harvard to Classic Restaurant Concepts for the surrender. Okay.
So the license is being surrendered?
The license is being surrendered under these conditions. And I know it has nothing to do with this particular condition, I'm sure, but We moved this matter from the litigation, so this is all separate and distinct from the litigation.
Yep.
Okay, so with that, I would say that the board acknowledges that Classic Restaurant Concepts LLC is surrendering the license 11545. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you get that license physically turned in, or are we? No, we're good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Statement of reasons, matter heard March 27th, vote taken May 22nd, 2019, Middle East.
Approved.
Matter heard April 24th, vote taken May 22nd, 2019,
La Fabrique. Approved.
Matter considered July 17th, 2019, JM Horticulture.
And this is just Gordon Mee, approved.
Peter Girardini on behalf of Lee Kennedy Company, special noise variance. The city project.
Yep, so dates changed here a little bit based on an email that they sent for some different dates. Yep, so they, from the subcontractor, the variance would be August 6th into the early morning of August 7th, and an alternate date of August 7th into the morning of August 8th. So granted with the requested modifications.
Michael Corello on behalf of Turner Construction, special noise variance from August 12th through October 11th, alternate date of August 13th through October 12th.
DPW has submitted some recommendations in terms of conditions. I would grant this variance with the conditions that DPW has requested to with their, I'll read them quickly and then we can, you can always incorporate them once you read them. Turner and Boston Properties, Turner and Boston Properties must provide regular schedule updates of off-hour work to the properties. Turner will provide DPW a weekly update on the proposed off-hours work at the Monday construction meeting. There will be no staging of trucks and vehicles, travel lanes, or bike lanes, and trucks may not arrive until they can immediately enter the site gate, and construction gates are to be manned for personnel, for Turner personnel, in addition to police officers. Yes? Okay. So granted with the conditions as suggested by DPW.
Mark Nelson on behalf of DF Prey, special noise variance, August 13th, alternate date of August 14th.
Granted.
Bill Wilbur on behalf of John Moriarty and Associates, special noise variance, August 3rd, alternate date of August 10th.
Granted.
Sheraton Commander, holder and holder of alcohol license 10890, has notified the board it is renovating its restaurant, specifically the finishes, all cosmetic work, no alteration of premise.
Acknowledged.
Sabon Market Liquors has provided an update regarding the expected timeline for reopening after the fire that affected its premises, previously acknowledged by the board on June 26th.
So basically, they provided us more information as to the cleaning crew that they're using. It's going to be more complicated, so it's going to take them a little more time. Acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. Dudley Street Market has notified the board it has closed and is working with a broker to sell the license.
I would acknowledge this, and I would suggest an informational hearing for non-use after renewal if they do submit a renewal.
Concur.
Deferred vote, Mark Roderick, doing business as Harvard B&B at 50 Irving Street.
So we heard this at the last meeting, and it was actually noticed, like, as it's written on the agenda, but the applicant had actually suggested the change on the application on June 25th, and it was made. It was just not made on the agenda. The actual name of the entity is Andrade Family LLC - Cambridge Snob LLC with a DBA of Cambridge IVN. There was an inspection done, and it's the same operation as was there before. The occupancy is 18 rooms and 36 occupants over three floors and basement of both 50 and 52. With that said, I would vote to grant.
Grant. So I'm going to vote for the first one, but I can vote.
You can if you want.
Yeah. Have to. No. Grant. Okay. Jackie, I'm sorry, one-day applications. Jackie Jones has applied for an entertainment license at Hancock's Cooper Square Park, Hancock Street, for a block party.
They still haven't submitted the block party permit, so I would defer since this is happening
August 23rd.
August
23rd. I thought Ellen
Nope. What they have is a letter saying what they're doing. It's not the permit. Gotcha.
Catherine Robbins, temporary amusement license, Rogers Park.
Granted.
Sarah Levy, malt and wine with entertainment.
Granted, with the condition that alcohol must be sold.
James Sebel, on behalf of Loyal Nine, entertainment license.
Granted.
Meredith Hires, on behalf of Biogen, entertainment license at Bennett Park.
Granted.
Benjamin Colnos, malt and wine license at 10 Education Circle.
Granted.
Branko Glisovic, malt and wine with entertainment at St. Saba Church.
Again, I defer this. I requested more information in terms of the festival and what's happening and where it's located. And since this is happening in September, I think we can defer it until...
No rush.
Yep.
Jason Alves, on behalf of East Cambridge Business Association, entertainment license at Senate Park.
Granted.
Michael Palmer, on behalf of Blueprint Medicines, for a malt and wine license at the courtyard at 45 Sydney Street.
Granted.
Jesse Smith, for an entertainment license at MIT Saxon Lawn.
Granted, with the amendment that the event be 12 p.m. to 12:45 for MIT registration, and I would suggest allowing the applicant to do one sound check prior to that time between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. for a total of 15 minutes.
Mary Elot, on behalf of Kente Therapeutics, malt and wine license, 26 Lansdowne.
Granted.
Shreya Katke, for an alcohol and entertainment license at St. Anthony's Parish.
Granted.
Nancy Donahue, on behalf of Cambridge Chamber of Commerce, an alcohol and entertainment license at 45 Lansdowne.
Granted, with the amended start time of 4 p.m. for permission letters and the condition that the admission price, there'd be a limited number of drinks associated with the admission price for thereafter, and otherwise the alcohol must be sold.
Luis Gustavo Tavares Perez, for an all-alcohol with entertainment license at the Masonic Hall.
Granted.
Avi Shemtov, malt and wine at the corner of Finney and 3rd for a beer garden.
Granted, with a minute start time of 4 p.m. for submission letter and police detail required.
Eliza Rafferty, on behalf of the Catered Affair, for malt and wine license at the Harvard Art Museum.
Granted.
Amir Sassin has advised the License Commission that he has purchased Medallion 115.
Acknowledged.
Kayla Marvel, on behalf of Lamplighter Brewing, one-day malt license on August 18th.
So this is, they don't have a permit yet from the city to use the sidewalk to do this?
It's on the private property.
No.
Oh, it's not?
It is not.
It was applied.
Nope. If you look at the at their description, they want to correct their tap room through a partial sidewalk obstruction permit. They're using the sidewalk to do this as well, and barriers and whatnot. They don't have a permit yet. We don't have a meeting before August 18th right now. So we can either grant subject to the permit being approved and submitted and contingent upon any conditions based on that permit.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Subject to DPW issuing a permit and subject to any conditions therein.
Belay Tesma, alcohol and entertainment license, August 24th.
Seconded.
Yes. What facility is that?
That is
private property.
No, it's St. John's.
Oh.
Bill Manley, on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association, entertainment license, August 10th.
So same with this one, the city permit has not yet issued. We don't have a meeting before then, so I would suggest granting subject to the 30 permit being issued and subject to any conditions therein.
Agreed.
Michael Perello on behalf of Turner Construction, special noise variance.
Granted.
Kyle Clayson on behalf of Hallamore, special noise variance.
Granted with the condition that they obtain a crane permit.
Joanna Pineda, one-day alcohol and entertainment license.
Granted.
Meeting minutes for the meeting of July 12th.
Approved.
We have late submissions. Michael Monesteam on behalf of the Central Square Business Association, one-day alcohol and entertainment license.
Same with this one in terms of the city permit, although in this one, Mr. Monesteam did email us that the permit is in the works and it should be issued by Monday, but I would grant subject to the permit being issued and subject to and condition upon any subject to any conditions therein.
Kenny Mascari on behalf of the Gateway Youth Center, one-day entertainment license.
The city event fee.
It is.
Yes, that one is granted with no license fee. Is it the city event?
Suzanne Blyer, one-day entertainment license, August 1st.
Granted.
Valentine Philpott, on behalf of Kendall Square Association, one-day alcohol license.
Granted, police is still required.
Gracie Novikoff Baruzzi, on behalf of Green Street Studios, one-day entertainment license.
Granted. Special noise variance number 52724.
Wait a minute, sorry.
On behalf of McCourt Construction for variance McCourt. August 17th through 16th through the 17th, and the alternative the 23rd through the 24th, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Is that McCourt or?
Yep, McCourt Construction 52724. Granted.
Fagner Scott. Special noise variance / exemption.
So this is MIT. They're requesting an exception or exemption to use the leaf blower to clean an area for MIT freshman orientation and convocation on August 19th through the 31st from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays, weekdays, and then Saturdays 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Mm. I would vote to deny this.
Mm.
Yeah. I think everyone else is cleaning their leaves per the ordinance. I think we get a lot of pushback on the ordinance in terms of the use of leaf blowers. I mean, if you want to consider the one thing that...
This is on the field, though?
Huh?
This is on the field?
This is their campus.
Throughout the campus?
So that they can use leaf blowers throughout the campus to clean the campus. I mean, I'm a denied on this. It doesn't mean that we have to agree on it. I do know that they...
don't they do orientation and the convocation on the field? Like, outside, not...
Yeah, but they're cleaning the whole campus. Is what they're doing. They're looking for permission to. Do they? Would that even fit in the application?
The area that they're seeking exemption will not in any way impact any residential area.
Yeah, that's
so approximately 166 acres. These specific areas do not abut residential housing.
Yeah, that's my thing. That it's like on self-contained. That it's not inconvenient to anybody. I think that if a exemption is ever applicable, this would be the time. So I would vote to grant it.
Yeah,
okay, so 2-1.
And Furrow House has notified the License Commission they'll be closed for 2 weeks for renovations. No changes to the footprint.
Acknowledged. I do want to say something in terms of the application 19063, Four Point Investments LLC. I think in this one, if the reason it was rescheduled, the applicant failed to notice abutters. I would say that if they failed to comply with that requirement of the application, that we defer or that we refer this to the city solicitor for legal action to not allow them the use of the parking.
Okay, I agree.
Okay, so if they don't submit that, so they have to be scheduled for the next hearing. It has to be re-advertised. So this would be for August 21st, yes. And so if they don't comply with the abutter notification in time for the August 21st hearing, then we'll refer this to the city solicitor's office to take legal action to not allow them to use the space. Okay, thank you. Got it.